Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 5 this evening. And good to see you folks. Thank you. Some folks were so kind today. I mentioned in my message that how much I loved Oreo double stuff. And praise God, I got Oreo double stuff tonight. I should have mentioned a new car. But that's next week. Amen. But thank you. God bless you. And all my kids, sorry, none of them go to you. They're all for Daddy. Amen. All right. So 2 Kings chapter 5. Amen. If you could, would you please stand? Again, good to see you, folks. Thank you again for being here this evening. God's word says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5 of the book of 2 Kings, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Verse 5 says this, and the king of Assyria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. This evening I want to preach a simple message entitled this, Unsung Heroes, Unsung Heroes. Have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord. God, again, I just lift up my need for your help this evening, Lord. I pray that you bless the message. Lord, I pray that you give me the words to say, Father. I pray that you would just put me aside, Lord. And I pray you speak through me. And I pray you'd help the dear people receive what they need tonight. I'm so thankful for the people of Grace Baptist Church, Father. I'm sure to miss them. I love them. I pray you help them tonight, those who could not be here because of the virus situation, stay-at-home order. I pray that even now, as they're watching, I pray you bless them, Lord. Please be with them. You're the folks that could be here. I pray you bless them as well. I think of those friends we have that might not be members but are near and dear to us, Lord. You might be watching as well. I pray you bless them also. God, I certainly need your help. I am not able to preach a message to be a help to people. All I can do is give a handshake or smile, Lord. But Holy Spirit, you're the one that does the work in the hearts, and I pray you would tonight. I pray you help those who have needs. I pray meet their needs. Bless them, Lord. You know exactly what's going on in the hearts of the dear people. We love you and thank you, Lord. We'll be careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Also, we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. All throughout the Bible, you will read stories of people or of great people who God used in amazing ways to do some amazing or great things for him. I think of Noah. Many of you know this, when I think of Noah, of course, you all think of the ark there back in Genesis and how God used him to preserve both the human and the animal race when God sent a global flood. I think of Moses, whom God used to part the Red Sea, and Moses, what a servant he was, and just amazing how God used him in such an amazing, mighty way there over to get those people of Israel out of out of Egypt, and how God blessed him. I love all the miracles, but one of my most favorite miracles is the Red Sea miracle. I wish I was there. I wish I was there to see that, how God split that sea in half and you walked on dry ground. It should have been quicksand walking through that ground, but it was hard as cement as God made that ground hard for them. And I would love to have a fishing pole and you fish, throw the pole sideways right into the water there to catch fish. It's just amazing to think of how God split that water in half and it went straight up there. Of course, again, an amazing miracle. I think of those three Hebrew boys over there in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And of course, how they would not do what King Nebuchadnezzar asked. They would not bow there. They would not stand and do honor that idol he put up there. And of course, because of it, Nebuchadnezzar, he threw those three boys in that fiery furnace. Of course, Daniel chapter 3 mentions they weren't alone there. There was a fourth who looked like the Son of God, Jesus Christ, being with them. And how they literally walked with him in that furnace. And of course, amazing how God used them and protected them. Not one of their hairs was singed. Everything was taken care of and protected. I think of Daniel, who again, who honored God. He prayed freely to God. He never compromised. No matter where he was, even though he was in a polytheistic type of setting, he still honored God, knowing that there was a monotheistic only type of God, a one true Jehovah God. And yet they threw him in the lion's den, and God protected that brother all through that night there in that lion's den. And of course, these, and I can go on and on, but these are people who have been mentioned and talked about for hundreds of years. They have become legends in children's nurseries, Sunday school rooms, and church houses alike. They're painted on the walls of our Sunday schools. They are embedded in the minds of people who are adults who are raised in the nursery. And when those nursery workers just told them about these wonderful stories and brought these people to life in front of these children's eyes, these are people who have been pointed to as examples to follow for their faith and trust in God. Even when they were staring death in the face, in some cases, they did not back down. And some of them, as God would see fit, had their name put in what we call the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Some of them are in there. Some of the people I mentioned even tonight. And listen, I'm sure, folks, if these people that I mentioned were standing here today, I'm sure they would echo what I'm about to say. All the glory and the praise and the honor goes to God, because he's the one who gave the strength and the protection. Amen and amen. But can I say this to you this evening as well? For those many who have been given the nicknames of the heroes of faith, the ones I just mentioned, and again, only mentioned a few of the many, there are, of those few that I mentioned, I believe there are hundreds of other people whose names are seldom mentioned, or it may be not mentioned at all, the book of these wonderful Holy Bible. Maybe there are people who are mentioned, one word's mentioned about them in the Bible. Maybe not even given a name, it's referred to as a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It may mention maybe a verse or two, maybe a chapter, or not at all. Maybe we'll just meet them when we get to heaven and hear about how God used them amazingly during these wonderful times of the Bible. But these people, my friend, listen, these people, although they were not mentioned much, although they were referred to or referenced the reference to them was very few and far between, these people were used by God in the same miraculous fashion to do great things for God. And these are people who I refer to as the unsung heroes of the faith. The people you don't hear mentioned much about, but the people who did miraculous things as well for the Lord. Before I go any further, I'm blessed, again, it kind of grows on you, or I say it gets old after a while, being in a church where people aren't here because of this stay-home order. When people show up, I'm blessed, they come. I don't close the door, they come on in. It's just an encouragement to have them. But I am thankful for the people in this church, and I'm not going to mention names tonight, the people who'd rather have their names not mentioned, but want to just willingly serve the Lord. Amazing, you've heard the cliche, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And thinking about the folks who are not here tonight because of this order, their home, hopefully, Lord willing, watching via live stream, may those who are here, many who give their time, their treasure, and their talent, they don't want any compliments or pats on the back, they don't want any praises, they just want to serve God, the unsung heroes of faith. But if I can, I want to look tonight at one unsung hero, then make a few points if I can, and I'm going to be over there in 2 Kings chapter 5 to do it. In this story that we just read this evening, we're introduced to a man whose name was Naaman. Naaman was captain of the Syrian army. This verse, this story also tells us that he was described as being a great man honorable, the Bible says, and an excellent soldier. If that wasn't enough tribute or praise mentioned about Naaman, verse 1 also tells us that God used Naaman to bring deliverance to Syria. Picture Naaman, if you would. Picture them, God used him and to deliver Syria and give them victory and to liberate that country or that province, if you will. I picture him after it was they got their freedom. I picture the king saying, "All right, Naaman, I want you to lead your soldiers down the street, wear your best uniforms, have your spit shine shoes on, and I want you to walk down the street. All the children of Syria and the adults are going to wave and pray. They're going to just say thank you, and they're just going to throw confetti and just be so grateful for your service to be able to give freedom to Syria." And I can picture Naaman being the leader of them all, leading the whole pack. Naaman's a general. He has his nice uniform on, his nice ironed, and he looks sharp. And he's walking down the street, and all the soldiers are walking behind him. I can picture that in my mind. And I can picture, as he's walking down the street, and again, this is all fictional, but I can picture something like that happening. And I can picture Naaman walking in his military uniform, decorated with all his medals and his ranks. And all the little kids, as they watch him pass by marching, "Wow, there goes Naaman. Hey, mommy, there goes Naaman. That's Naaman. He's a general. Man, he's the one that gave victory to Syria. And God used him in amazing ways." And Naaman, he wasn't a no-name. He was as common, I'm sure, as sliced bread over there in Syria. People knew that name very well, a common name among the households, because God used him to give victory, deliver Syria. However, with all this great and notable things mentioned about Naaman, there was one not so worthy thing mentioned about him as well. And at the end of verse 1, you find out what that thing is. It says this at the end of verse 1, "But he was a leper." Naaman had a disease of leprosy that at that time was incurable. In fact, because the disease was so severe, God gave some strict guidelines to follow for those who are diagnosed with this disease. And it sounds kind of familiar, what's going on around us. Like things and stuff like this going on. But if you go to Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 to 46, here are the guidelines that God issues regarding leprosy. In verse 45, it says this of chapter 13 of the book of Leviticus: "The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." You see, because the disease was so contagious and so dreadful, anyone who had it was quarantined away from the rest of society on their own, so not to risk infecting others. Man, this disease, it broke up families in some cases. Husbands were ripped away from wives, and if it got bad enough, the disease did. Parents lost their children, type of thing. And if that was only the tip of the iceberg. If you had this disease, you're gonna walk around yelling, "Unclean, unclean." That's how bad the disease was. You pretty much lived a humiliated lifestyle as long as you had leprosy. Naaman had this disease, very serious, and yes, he could die. Now, let's fast forward to the end of the story. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.'" Now, if you were to read verse 11 to 12, which I won't take time, you would read that Naaman did not like Elijah's instructions at all. Here in verse 10, Elijah said, "Listen, you want to be healed from your leprosy?" Well, actually, let me back up if I can. Naaman goes to Elisha, the prophet, because he understands Elijah can heal him. And he goes there, and Elijah said, "Listen, I want you to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River." And of course, Naaman, after hearing those commandments, that commandment from Elisha, in verse 11 to 12, we understand Naaman did not like Elijah's instructions at all. Why? Because the Jordan River was a disgusting, polluted river. It was not a clean river at all. But through some coaxing by Naaman's servant, over in verse 14, Naaman goes down to that dirty river and does what Elijah says and dips himself 7 times in the dirty Jordan River. And I love how the end of verse 14 says it. Excuse me. And the verse 14 says this: "And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Mamas, you know what it's like when you hold that brand new baby in your arms. and you feel the skin of that baby so pure, so fresh. That skin was just perfect. Not messed with, not polluted on by the air or things of this world type of thing, the material things. Just a pure skin. And God said that God was so did such an amazing work there, that miracle, when he came up out of the water, his skin was like a baby's skin. Clean. Now here's the question I have for you this evening. Some of you probably know the answer to it. How did Naaman get hooked up with Elijah? So you have to understand that Naaman, again, he was in a country or province known as Syria, which I already mentioned. But Elijah, he was over there in Israel. Two completely different provinces. Well, the answer is found in verse 2. 2 Kings 5, verse 2. It says here, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Sometime in the past, Syria had went to war against Israel. And as a result of this battle, they took captive some people out of the land, one of which was a little girl." I don't know all of it because the Bible doesn't say, but I imagine Naaman and his family took a liking to this young lady. Something about her appealed to them. Maybe they were just looking for a servant or needed someone to help with them. But whatever the case may be, they saw this little lady and said, "You know what? She'd be a great fit for our family." And this lady, again, this young lady, this little girl, or this little maid, as the Bible says, she became a servant to that family. And in verse 3, this young lady, or again, this little maid, goes to the mistress, which again, we probably believe to be most likely was Naaman's wife, don't know that for sure, and says to her, and I'm paraphrasing in verse 3, "I wish that Naaman was with the prophet Elisha, because if he was with him, that man of God has power with God, and God will be able to heal Naaman." It all began with a little lady who was concerned about her master. Here's the thing. As far as I can tell, maybe I'm wrong here, but as far as I can tell, in the whole entire Bible, there are only 3 verses devoted to this little maid. Only 3. Those 3 verses, and then it's gone. There's more verses devoted to Naaman than to her. Yet, if it wasn't for this little lady, this little maid, saying what she said in verse 3, Naaman would have never heard about Elisha and would not have been healed and possibly could have went to an early grave. Folks, listen, that young lady, that little maid, is what I would describe as an unsung hero. Unsung hero. Now listen, to transition to the thought for the message tonight, let me just say keep a couple things if I can before I get to the central theme of the message. Folks, listen, we might never, ever attain any levels of popularity. And with all due respect, I don't think we should desire that anyway. But rather, our desire should be to popularize the name of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And make His name great. Because if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be going to heaven. Praise the Lord. But again, we might never have a lot of recognition. Even in Baptist circles, people might never know who we are. But all of us can, listen, all of us can become unsung heroes. And I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but I need to say this again because I risk you missing the whole point of the message. The point of the message is not to bring glory to ourselves or to these people, but rather to bring glory to God. So when I say unsung heroes, it's not a title meant to bring glory unto ourselves, but glory unto God who in His grace and mercy decides to use us. Praise the Lord for that. So again, all of us can be unsung heroes. People who might not be well known, but can be used by God mightily to spread the gospel and influence many lives for good, all to the glory of God. I think of a gospel song that says, "He knows my name." We sing it at family altar often, my kids. It doesn't matter if no one else knows our name, I know He knows my name. Praise the Lord for that. So again, all of us can be unsung heroes. So let me give you a few thoughts tonight on how to be an unsung hero. All from 2 Kings chapter 5, looking at this little maid. Number one, how to be an unsung hero. Number one, just be in your place. Just be in your place. Look at 2 Kings 5, verse 2, if you would. 2 Kings 5, verse 2. It says this. "The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. listen, do you understand this little servant girl knew of Naaman and his leprous condition because her job was a weight on that family. And obviously being Naaman was the head of the household, I'm sure his name was mentioned every day throughout the house from his wife, from his kids, from his servants. And obviously the fact he had leprosy was probably a big deal. If someone in your family gets sick, the rest of the family usually gathers around to try to help that one person. A lot of my kids figure that out. So when they try to get sick, they always try to, do it up good. Oh, Daddy, my stomach's killing me. I got to stay home for a week. I got malaria. Would you please help me? And of course, can I have a bowl of soup? And can I have you take care of my supper? And I can't do my chores all week. I mean, they do it up big. Praise the Lord. They know how to work it, especially with their sisters. Amen. But listen, when someone gets sick, everyone in your family knows about it. And this little girl, she was aware of Naaman and his leprous condition because, again, her job was to care for that family. And in the process of doing what she was supposed to be doing, which is waiting on that family, serving that family, caring for their needs, she saw Naaman's desperate condition, and it was while she was in her place, while she was doing what God had called her to do, or God's will for her life, if you will, that the Lord put it in her head and in her heart about a man named Elisha. And of course, she went to the mistress and told her about Elisha, and of course, the rest of the story. Again, Naaman, as far as we know, Naaman never heard of Elisha and might never have if it wasn't for this little maid who didn't, listen, this little maid didn't do anything extra special or extraordinary. She was just in her place. Just doing what God called her to do. Listen, my friend, it was a young man named David who was in his place taking care of a bunch of sheep and protecting them from ferocious beasts like lions and bears. I think lions and tigers. Anyway, okay. And because he was in his place doing what he was supposed to do, day in and day out, listening to his father's instruction, being a good son. And one day his dad says, "Hey, son, I want you to go out to a battle. Your brothers are in a battle there. They're fighting the Philistines. I want you to bring some cheese and some bread and go see your brothers. Tell me how it's going over there, and then come back and give me word." And just because, listen, David is in his place. He's not trying to be a hero. He's doing what God told him to do, be a good son and take care of a bunch of sheep. "Okay, Dad, I got the bread, I got the cheese. I'll head out to the war, the battle. I'll come back when it's over." And of course, you know the story. He goes to the battle, and there's the Philistine giant Goliath. God uses him to destroy that Goliath, that giant, and liberate the Israelites. He was just doing what God told him to do in his place when God did something amazing with him. Hey, listen, I think of Nehemiah. He was just a simple cupbearer who worked for the king to bring him his drinks, protect him from any possible poisonings, and care for whatever other needs that king might have. And while he was in his place, just doing what he was supposed to do, nothing extraordinary, nothing out of the ordinary, if you would, he's serving the king. He hears from a friend while he's in the palace serving there about the horrible news of Jerusalem, a distant land that was near to his heart, and how the walls and the gates were broken down and burnt with fire. And of course, that started a chain reaction which began in his heart, went through his eyes and his tears, and eventually the king gave him permission to go back to Jerusalem to lead the project to rebuild those walls. Hey, it started because he was in his place. That's all he was doing. Nothing out of the ordinary. What about Lady Esther, who was a Jew? Although she hid that at the advice of her relative, who, although he wasn't her biological father, Mordecai, he kind of took that role. And while she was in her place, God saw fit to make her queen of the land, again, hiding the fact that she was Jewish. And as her father or her relative Mordecai had said to her in trying to stop evil Haman's plans to annihilate the Jews, he says in Esther 4:14 to her, "Who knoweth whether thou art come," excuse me, "to the kingdom for such a time as this?" He said, "Listen, Esther, maybe God made you queen just for this purpose." All she was doing was being in her place, being the queen. And boom, there was an opportunity to take care of and protect the Jews. I remember a story about my good friend, Brother Hansen, pastor up in Minnesota. Him and I were serving under Pastor Angel there up in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Brother Hansen was he was over the bus ministry, the soul winning ministry. Brother Caleb, he was just a good brother. Me and him were good friends up there. Good relationship. And he was in his place, out soul winning, on a Tuesday or Wednesday. He was out there in the lower income section of Kankakee. I think he was doing some bus calling to pick up some kids, I think. I'm not sure what he was doing. Some kind of soul winning, a bus or a regular soul winning visitation. While he was in his place, he sees smoke coming out of a house. And of course, as he would, and most people would, he wants to make sure everything's okay. It just had happened. There was no fire department there. No one has shown up. So his knowledge is just is brand new. And he runs to the front door to see the lady. And if I remember the story correctly, I don't want to say it incorrectly because I mentioned his name already. he's telling the story. I remember he said that the lady said, hey, my relative, I think it was a husband, is in there and he can't walk. Brother Caleb, again, just being in his place, he gets in the house, gets under the smoke, crawls, finds a man, puts the guy on his back, and crawls out of the house, saves the guy's life. Just being in his place. Look, hey, listen, we all have a place. We all have a will for our lives given to us by God. We all have a place we live, a place we work. Some of us are working a job out in secular world. Some of us are staying at home with children. But throughout your hustle and bustle of just being in your place, hey, and doing your regular routine, going to Walmart, getting gas at the gas station, working outside your house, doing landscaping. Hey, it's when you're in your place at the doctor's office, at the hospital, or some other public place. It's there God might use you to become an unsung hero. You have no idea how God will use you tomorrow, tonight even. It's there when you're in your place that God might have you cross paths with someone who needs help from God. One of the sweetest things I loved about being a youth pastor was when at the end there, I still have the Bible. Last day, last service there before we left in February of 2000, we started the church in April. Last service, Pastor Angel had me preach, and the teens of Grace Faith Baptist presented me with a Bible. They all wrote their notes in there. They signed their names and some things. I actually looked at it last week, just felt like looking at it. And this, all the glory goes to God for all of it. But there's so many of those kids. So many of those kids say, Brother Jason, because I heard me as Brother Jason, I don't know if it's spell Minkowski. Brother Jason, thank you for your investment. Thank you for the 6 years being here at my youth. Thank you for the time you put in. I was in my place. I wasn't doing any more than I'm supposed to be doing. And look the same. Look at, hey, you're in your place. It's where God can do an amazing thing. So again, how do you be an unsung hero? Number one, just be in your place. Number two, an unsung hero is concerned for others. An unsung hero is concerned for others. 2 Kings 5, verse 3. If you're back in 2 Kings 5, verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. It was while this little maid was in her place, waiting on Naaman and his family, that God gave her the idea and the burden for Naaman about mentioning about the prophet Elijah to her mistress. And again, I don't want to interject thoughts or ideas. I want to be silent where the Bible is silent. But I could almost imagine this little maid was chomping at the bit to tell someone about the fact that, hey, she knew someone over there in Israel where she used to live and grew up who could actually heal Naaman. And I can picture it even now. She finds her mistress who could have been, again, who could have been Naaman's wife. We don't know that for sure. She finds a mistress. I don't picture her going up with a monotone voice. Hey, mistress, I have the answer to solve Naaman's life. Here's the answer. Find Elisha. Have a good day. I don't think she did that. I think you're saying, hey, listen, I got the answer for you. Hey, listen, hey, you got to tell Naaman he's got to go to Israel because over in Israel is a man named Elisha, a prophet used by God. He'll heal Naaman. Man, so burdened. That's what I picture. I mean, jumping up and down. It's like when they have candy and they never stop jumping up and down, even through the night. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a whole other message. But look, hey, and when she told the mistress again, I could see her chomping at the bit, not having a monotone voice, but a high pitch. Excitement in her voice was talking so fast because she knew that someone could help Naaman. She was genuinely concerned for others. Jude verse 22, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude verse 22 says this, and of some have compassion, making a difference. It's when we have compassion and care for others, if we see a need that we can help, we try to think, how can I help? What can I do? I want to make a difference. Folks, listen, this is one of the trademarks of Christianity, to be willingly and regularly selfless, having regard for others and a desire to help. Listen, my friend, if you ask God to allow you to cross paths with, listen, if you go to God and say, God, would you allow me to cross paths with someone here in the near future who I can be a blessing to and help and hopefully get the good news of the gospel to bring them to see them get saved and just be a blessing to them overall if I can, I would not be surprised if God answers that prayer. But how many of us don't even pray that prayer? I want to make a difference. Hey, we're all, you understand that if Jesus Christ does not come back, we're all going to see death first. If rapture doesn't happen first, we're all going to see death. And we're going to have a tombstone. And if people could put something about you on their tombstone, man, it'd be great if you heard things like, man, he was a help to his community. He was a blessing to his family. He was a tremendous asset to his church. He loved God. He loved others. Man, those are wonderful things about tombstones. I think one of the most shallow, hopeless, horrible things someone can say about you on your tombstone, all he cared about was himself. An unsung hero's concern for us. That little maid could care less about what she was doing. All she cared about was helping Naaman. Hey, mistress, hey, listen. I can help him. Excuse me, I know someone who can help him. His name is Jehovah God. And he uses a man over there in Israel named Elisha to do it. Hey, please tell Naaman, because I want him to get healed. I want him to get help. Hey, Christian, have you heard about Jesus Christ? Hey, can I be blessed? Hey, the same idea can go out to us as Christians today. Hey, passing out tracts. Listen, I know, listen, we're living in a day and age with the coronavirus and the six-foot rule, but if we're not careful, let that six-foot rule control us for the rest of our lives. We will. Mark it down. Well, I'm not going to give tracts out now because six-foot rule. Last time I checked, the gospel, we got to follow the Bible first. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Concern for others. In my opinion, the greatest concern we can have is for their soul. You know for sure you're going to heaven. Passing out tracts. But unsung heroes in their place, and unsung heroes concern for others. Number three, last one, I'm done with this. An unsung hero often has no idea they are that unsung hero. An unsung hero often has no idea they are that unsung hero. By saying, what does that mean? Just follow, bear with me if you would. 2 Kings 5, verse 4. We're almost done. It says this, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. After the maid told her mistress about Elisha and the power that God had through him, that news worked its way all the way up the chain to the king of Syria, who then transferred that over to the king of Israel, who then told that to Elijah. Elijah heard about the king of Israel ripping his clothing, meaning he knew the king was in distress. Elijah said, what's wrong? And he heard the news. The point I'm trying to make is that The whole time God is using this little maid's bit of advice about Elisha, and gets word up to king of Syria and over to king of Israel and over to Elijah. The whole time God's transferring that information eventually over to Elisha, however many days or weeks that took to get to Elisha. And eventually who told Naaman to come to his house, and all that dialogue happens with Naaman and Elisha, and he goes to the Jordan River and dips 7 times and gets healed. As far as we know, that in that whole span of time, from the moment it left the little girl's lips until the moment maybe months later when Naaman finally was healed, as far as we know, that little maid had no idea that God was using her to make a difference in Naaman's life. All she knew was she told her mistress, "Hey, I know someone in Israel who can help Naaman, heal him." She had no idea she was to be used by God as an unsung hero. Now, I'm sure she found out later, because when Naaman eventually came home one day, he was healed, and she eventually found out. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Listen, my friend, we could be going throughout our day, and God uses us to offer up some words of encouragement to a stranger, or give a gospel tract to someone at the store, or give some food to someone in need, or give just some of our time and help to someone who needs some help, or practical advice, or some money, or financial advice to someone who needs help with their finances, or practical advice to a parent who needs help with their children. And we can give a few bit of words, or a little bit of money, or a little bit of time, and in our mind, it was not that big of a deal. And yet those simple words, or those couple dollars, or that little bit of time we could have given, triggered something that might have made a world of difference in a person's life, and we might never find out about it until we get to heaven. And that's fine. My point is, my friend, here's the most amazing thing about this message. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. If you desire to be an unsung hero, just to be in your place and let God use you and have a burden for others, and you have had that burden maybe for years, when you get to heaven, you might have hundreds of people come up to you and say, "Brother or sister, I want to thank you. For that day, back in such and such, on that summer day, you stopped by my house and you invited me on the bus route. And you said, and I was having a bad day as a kid. I had a bad day at my brother and sister's that week. We had no school, so we were at each other's throats. You came and spent a half hour with me, and you invited me on the bus route. I didn't want to go, but I went. And that next day, I went to church. I got saved. I'm in heaven because of what you did." Or someone comes up to you when you're in heaven and say, "Hey, brother or sister, I want to thank you. Years ago, you probably remember, I was talking to you. We were at a family gathering, and I was there at the family gathering because we're related, and I want to thank you there. While we were there, I was having some trouble with my kids, and for some reason, I told you what was on my heart, and you were so kind. You didn't judge me. You weren't just the holier-than-thou attitude, but you had just a nice soft spirit. And you said, 'Listen, I'll be praying for you.' That's all you said to me. I walked away saying, 'Hey, man, someone praying for me. There is hope.' And I went home and I started praying myself, and God turned that thing around. But it all started because you decided to have a burden for me. You prayed for me. And you might be in heaven, and someone walks up to you and says, 'Hey, listen, hey, years ago when you were alive there down on earth, and you were there, and you were there at the Walmart or the Walgreens, and you saw me, and I was at the side of the Walgreens, and I was walking around like I was homeless, and you saw that. And God said, God must spoke to your heart and said, 'Hey, go around and talk to me.' And you came back and you talked to me. And then you bought me some McDonald's there from lunch from McDonald's. And I remember now when you said that, and you asked me about my church, and you called my preacher and said, 'Make sure I was okay.' And in your mind, you probably forgot about it a day later. But my preacher called me and he got me back in church and I got right with God. And now I went to the mission field because of it. I married right. All because you cared enough. Cared enough." And you hear these things and say, "Me? I'm just a nobody." No, you're right. Well, you're right. You are a nobody. Well, you're used by somebody to help anybody. Hey, I dream about the people of Grace Baptist Church, how God can. I would love if God still stays on the throne and desire to keep me here at Grace Baptist. That's my life. God gives me many more years here. That's his desire. Whatever he wants. Now, my dream is that there can be hundreds of people in Quincy or helped, thousands by the unsung heroes of Grace Baptist Church. People who just are in their place. They're going to Walmart, going to work, or their prairie farms. You're out there in the construction field. You're over there in the military. You're working at the Christian school. Or a stay-at-home mom, which is an amazing feat in itself. You're just in your place. And you stay faithful day after day, week after week, month after month, in the center of God's will, right where he wants you, and you have a burden for others, and God sees it. You just help people, and he just like a, almost like a turnstile, people coming into a store from a turnstile thing that rotates, a door thing. He almost like that. He just brings people to you over and over again because he knows you're God. He can use you to help others. And for your whole life, you're helping. And you don't even realize it because you're not trying to look for any pats on the back. You're just trying to be a blessing. And you get to heaven. And if people can hand you a Bible, you open the Bible and there's hundreds of names in there. And thank you for helping. Blessing has been in my life. I would not be where I am. I'm thankful for my mom. It's her who prayed for me, which led to my salvation. 21 years old. In my life. I'm thankful for Brother Reimers over there at Heritage Baptist. Hey, bro, I love you and pray. Encourage me. But Tom Gerber over at Heritage Baptist Church, when I first got in that church, Pastor Bitt said, you can be a Sunday school teacher. And I loved it. Now we're, instead of teaching, we're throwing marshmallows at each other. Not a lot of teaching going on. The kids had a good time. Well, man, I loved it. Of course, I love Pastor Bitt, who just gave me a chance. I didn't know much about being a Baptist, nothing about it. All I knew, I love God and want to serve. Point me in the right direction, Pastor. I'll do whatever you want. I think of all the hundreds of unsung heroes just for doing their regular routine. It took time to be a blessing to me. And because of that, I am where I am. Obviously, all the glory goes to God. I am what I am by the grace of God. But God used these unsung heroes to make a difference in my life, and because of that, I am here today and stand before you all because of the grace of God and the people he got in the East. Hey, listen, if you're listening via live stream, God can use you tomorrow to be an unsung hero. Give that piece of advice to help someone. Proverbs 25:11 says this: a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, in the right word at the right time. I'm thankful to the people God has in my life even now who have the right word to say to be encouraged. Right word at the right time. Friend, day after day, we're in our place, going, doing God's will for our lives, nothing out of the ordinary. We just have a desire to be a help to others, to make a difference, especially a spiritual difference. And God might just use us from time to time, make a difference for his glory, and be an unsung hero. Well, listen, we might never know about it until we get to heaven, but that's okay. We don't have to know because the glory and the honor all is his anyway. He deserves all of it. None of it's ours. So my friend, I dare say that across this country, even today, there are probably thousands of unsung spiritual heroes out there walking the streets in and out and day and day all across this country today, across this world, maybe millions of unsung heroes just doing what God had called them to do, being in their place, wanting to honor God and help others, and God uses them day after day to make a difference in the lives of others. So I challenge you, as I close this message, I challenge you, be an unsung hero. Just be faithful in your place. Be willing to make a difference. And when you get to heaven, you might find out all the people who God used you to make a difference in their lives. None of the glory. We don't desire any glory. If you have the right motive, nothing about us, all about Him. But I'll be honest with you, it feels good when you find out and God used you to help someone else. Not prideful good, just praise the Lord good. Thank you, Lord. I did something right there. Now, I understand with this coronavirus, there is, you got to be careful about things. I'm not trying to sit through a caution in the wind. You have to understand my last comment I made earlier. But my point I'm trying to make is, don't throw this matter of being a burden out the window. Well, I can't be a burden, I can't help others because of this. And that's not true, you can. In some cases, you have to be creative. Hey, my friend, be an unsung hero today. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You don't so here. Let God use you to make a difference. Little maid, you don't see her mentioned a whole lot, I imagine, nursery stories in Sunday school curriculums, and preaching services. Why not mention as much as you'd hear about three Hebrew boys or Daniel or David? Those huge, huge people, those heroes of faith, Noah. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I believe what God did with that little young lady made just so much a difference. God used the other amazing heroes of faith to make a difference in people's lives as well. All the glory of God. Let me ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes.